Good morning. It's Paul, and it is Wednesday, 15th of January 2014. It has snowed a little bit, like less than an inch, but we didn't even lose all the ice on the walks, and now it's covered with snow, so it's a little bit hazardous walking because I can't see the ice now. I've got a little scratchy throat. This may be a short walk. My nose is running. Not feeling so great, but my joints and my bones are, and my mood has come to crave motion. Just begs me for it. So I guess, I hope that this means that I've established a habit. Not that a habit can't be broken, but that it might be harder to stop exercising than not. But we still have a dismayingly long portion of winter ahead of us. It's we just got through the polar vortex week, and I was feeling kind of gratified that we didn't have any expensive burst pipes. But it's sort of like we have a big meal in front of us, and we're happy because we made it through that overcooked broccoli dish that was really distasteful. We finished that off, but now we're looking at our plate again, and there's a dismayingly large mountain of cold mashed potatoes and wilted Brussels sprouts yet to go. And this is a meal we can't say no to. That's the stupidest metaphor I've come up with. Facing the other way and the wind's kicking up, and I'm walking on snow over ice that's cracking underneath. And I'm without a tissue, which was a brilliant move. I'm also without my... I plan ahead for the dripping nose factor. This makes for exciting podcasting. Right here, this is it. They call this... digital verite. Audio verite. You might also refer to it as Dogma 14. Dogma 14, which I just invented, allows compression and limiting, but no gating. no stereo image alteration, no no widening or narrowing effects, and EQ must be applied with a great deal of restraint. You may cut frequencies but not boost them. That would be funny if that cut on. So I'm looking at my a little bit of news. The news is that if you've been following the Potts Family Chronicles, you have heard that our children had lead, had slightly troubling levels of lead detected in their venous blood draws. Enough to be of concern that it may be affecting their development. And we had a state-funded inspection. A guy who came out and inspected all the painted surfaces in our home, trying to determine where the source of lead might be. And one of the, not very much in our home was, had exposed lead paint. In fact, I'm not sure there was, except maybe on the metal windows, I'm not sure there was any exposed lead paint. However, they do believe that in some door frames and door jams here and there, and in some walls, there's lead paint underneath layers that may be shedding particles of lead. But it wasn't like a smoking gun. Like, this is the lead that they are absorbing. One thing was a smoking gun, which is there was an old ping pong table, which Grace picked up at a garage sale. No, at a someone's yard. And that was our dining table for the longest time. For over a year, I think. Grace asked when she bought it from the guy about the paint, if it could be leaded, and he said, oh no, they repainted that. He was lying. It was old paint. And it was lead paint. So we were eating off a table that was painted with lead paint. And so that could be the culprit. That may have been the big source of exposure. They also found lead in the dust taken from dust samples, swept from the floor in a couple rooms, which I don't know if it could have come from the table or it could have come from the window frames. Old window frames will just will shed dust into the air, like the heating and cooling, and as the sun hits the paint, it will fall off little particles of lead. And apparently, they think now that they used to talk about eating paint chips, and that was certainly a hazard. But I think, unless, you know, and I think that hazard has been better recognized now, and a lot of people have, that have obviously peeling lead paint that's forming chips, have done something about it by now. But now they think that particles of lead that are breathed in, that just spall off from friction or from weathering in the dust in the indoor air, maybe more of a hazard, may be absorbed more readily by breathing than by eating. I don't know if that's true, but I read that somewhere. So, well, we did, of course, when we found this, we got rid of the table. Grace was making a sign to put on it that said, warning, lead paint, don't use. And before we even got the sign on it, we'd put it out on the lawn for trash pickup, out on the tree lawn. Before we even got the sign on it, someone had taken it. It wasn't the trash guys. They're like, oh, good luck. Great. It's like, this happened also with a couch. We had a couch that we had bought at a thrift store in Ann Arbor and brought up, and had sat on for, had used for months and months, and gradually realized that it was infested with bed bugs. Gradually, as in, noticed, like, we didn't notice anything for the first few months, but then the kids would have these, they'd sleep on it occasionally. They'd fall asleep on the couch and we'd leave them there. And we'd notice this characteristic pattern of three bites in a row, three little red itchy bites in a row, which apparently is, that's how bed bugs roll. Oftentimes, if they're not interrupted, they'll suck your blood in one spot. They'll migrate, pull up tent stakes and migrate a half inch away or so, and sink in their proboscis again. Drill a little, another little well, and then do it again. So I finally tore the turn. We had inspected it and not really found anything, but finally I turned the couch over entirely and I tore open the, there's like a skirt underneath it, a dust skirt or something, like a piece of cloth that kept dust out of the innards. Tore that off and got a bright ultraviolet light and inspected thoroughly all the crevices and corners of the frame of the couch, and yes, there were bed bugs living in it. Very distinctive. We're looking at pictures online. These little carapaces, these tiny little things, and of course dotted with little dabs of sparkling dabs of material that fluoresced under ultraviolet light. That is the kid's blood, or the previous owner's kid's blood, or my blood, who knows. Anyway, I don't think we're gonna buy any more used furniture. From thrift stores. We did accept a couch that was given to us by some friends. We were reasonably sure that they hadn't had a bed bug incident, and so far no itching. So we put that couch on the curb with a Grace was again making a sign that said, "Warning, bed bugs." But before she could put the sign on, the couch was gone. So again, good luck with that. Caveat emptor. Oh God, it's embarrassing. So I think now we gotta attach the sign first. If there's any more, if we have to take out any nuclear waste, let's say our reactor, our graphite nuclear reactor has a meltdown and sprays out a giant puddle of corian, molten slag of radioisotopes, and that's fatal to approach. We should write the sign and stick the sign on it before we put it out on the tree line. So I'm fighting a cold. I think I can fight it off. I think I will prevail. I can't afford to take days off work. I guess it wasn't that windy. Sorry. The wind was a disappointment. I'm just as glad. The wind in my face on a day like today is making me feel colder than it was even when I was out walking in much colder weather. So it's well above freezing, and you would think if I was going to get a cold, I would have done so when it was 14 below zero. But no. Because when it's 28 or even 40, that's when you let your guard down. That's how they get you. The viruses conspire with the weather. So, lead paint. So yesterday we had some movement on this project. They brought in a contractor to the house who came and looked over the spots that need to be stripped and primed. And I guess he's giving the state an estimate, and we'll find out if they're going to accept that estimate, and if so, when they're going to schedule this remediation. That sounds great, except that we're not allowed to be in the house while they're doing this. We all have to vacate the house. All seven of us. I'm not too keen on that. Fortunately, I think it should only be a matter of a couple of days for the scraping and priming to be completed. But I guess they might put us up in a hotel or something. But five kids in a hotel room, and I hate to just whine on this. I don't have any time off I can take, any paid time off. We don't know the exact date yet, but it might be in just over 2 weeks. So I guess I'll have to arrange something. Fortunately, there's none of the work they need to do is in my office, so I don't have to empty that out. But it's hard to imagine how we're gonna make that work. I can take my work laptop with me, my loaner laptop. Can I work from a cafe? Maybe. There's a place. One of the difficulties I've had working from cafes is that their Wi-Fi, you can take a laptop and get on the Wi-Fi, but the Wi-Fi routers they use are programmed to kick you off. I think you might get an hour and then they kick you off. And then maybe you can renew for another hour. But there's some rule that it applies where after your third hour, it won't let you connect again. So they're basically trying to enforce a company policy that people not do what I'm proposing to do. No matter how many lattes you buy, they don't want you to camp out at a table and actually spend your entire workday at the cafe. So I know that Barnes & Noble's router does this. The Red Eye Cafe does this. The Red Eye would be my choice. It's locally owned, it's downtown, it's bohemian. It has people from all classes, students and people who are pierced and people from the local art scene and all that, and local artists on the wall. But that would be my choice, but they really don't have food. They have some muffins and they'll toast you a bagel. But coffee, drinks, and food, you know, and if I'm going to be there all day, I can't just pound espresso after espresso drink without, or even Americano, without getting some protein into my stomach, or it'd be like taking too many Adderall. Attention surplus disorder. I'd probably start to sing and pace around the room. So that place won't work. There is a place out by the Kroger. I forget the name. That's stupid. It's not Dawn of a New Day. Dawn of a New Day, if they're open, they're not always open, they might accommodate me. There's a couple other options, but the one out by the Kroger seems like the best bet. They have food, and I actually have done a whole day's work from there. I've done it before. They're not crowded. The Wi-Fi didn't kick me off, and I was able to eat a couple meals plus coffee drinks, so I kept, you know, was basically paying table rent while getting things like soup and sandwiches that I wanted to eat. So that worked out well. If I can manage that, then I could probably get a full day's work or close to it. That with a cell phone, I can let people know that I'll be away from my desk. It could work. But, so what? And what do the rest of the kids do? They're hanging out in Ramada Inn by the pool. I don't know that Grace can, that can keep five, well, the baby's too little to go in the water, but can keep four kids safe in the pool. I don't know. We'll figure something out. I don't know if they're going to, do we then have to pay for several days worth of meals out? I guess we might have to, so I better set aside some money. Yeah, it gets complicated. Yesterday I had a pretty productive day. I worked a little overtime. Monday was fairly productive, so not too bad. I'm tired and feel a cold coming on. That's why I'm walking. Heating up my bones. Friction heats up my bones and causes them to help burn out the viruses. But I'm only going to do two laps today. Two laps. 2.8 miles, I think it is. So 1.4, 1.6. Figured it out. Oh, I can't remember. So, we will also, we're going to lose the markings. There's a door frame in the kitchen where we've been marking the children's heights since 2010. We started New Year's 2011. So we have four sets of marks. We have four marks for each child, dated with their name, showing their height. And that's the kind of thing that if it were up to us, we would just not repaint that. We would, even if we repainted the kitchen, refinished the kitchen otherwise, we would leave that piece of molding just the way it is. With the kids' heights marked on it for posterity. If we moved out, we would, maybe we'd peel it off the wall. Maybe we'd take that with us. Because having only lived in apartments in our adult life until now, there's not much that seems memorable, you know, like we were here, really left our imprint someplace, and then we have that with us, other than photographs. Our life seems very transient. I guess they are. They always are. So, but sometimes people have artifacts. I have things that my mother made. They will one day go on a shelf. They're in boxes now. Some of them will be handed off to the grandchildren. I've already sent a number of things to my brother. things she made, things he would remember from childhood. Photos plus a vase that she made. There were two vases that survived from her early adulthood. She was maybe 20 and she was studying ceramics. I kept the tall one and I sent him the short one that seemed appropriate. There were two afghans that she knit. We remember watching her knit them. It took years of evenings sitting watching TV knitting, crocheting. That's the how she made them. These afghans. I kept the older one and sent him the younger one. And photos. I sent him a big acid-free album that I made up of all of his old, not all, there's a lot more, but basically all his school portraits and all the relevant growing up photos that I thought he might like to look at. I scanned them all. And I hope that I haven't screwed it up too badly, because I dumped them into an Apple program called Aperture. And it's been migrated and backed up across several versions and across several operating system upgrades. Last I tried, it wouldn't open the project. It wouldn't display it. There's some kind of permissions problem. So I had created them with one account and tried to assign it to another account so it could be shared, and it didn't work right. And the older versions used to open it, but now it won't open it at all, and I'm not sure how to fix it. There are 1,000 scanned photos in there at least. Maybe more like 2,000. I'm sure that I can. It ingests your pictures and puts them in a hierarchy of files. And I'm sure that if I open up all those folders on the command line, I could get access to the original files, because it keeps the original files. And I've kept the original files. But what I don't have access to is all the retouching. I did a lot of retouching and adjustments. Many hours spent cleaning up pictures, and it saves those changes. It saves all those adjustments. If it won't open the project, I can't get. Also, the organizations, the organizational structure, the arranging the projects, the sorting, the turning them into slideshows and albums, that is all part of the Aperture project. I hope I can figure out how to fix that. But because software like Aperture isn't FDA approved, it's not a food and drug or medical device. A bug that causes people to lose access to 2,000 of their painstakingly scanned family photos. There's no one really whose job it is to guarantee that that doesn't happen. There's certainly a testing group, but they're not going to cover every scenario. And they're certainly not going to cover scenarios that involve upgrading onto computers and versions and operating systems that haven't even been released at the time they're doing their testing. So, but yeah, I get very fed up. iTunes is constantly updating, and now these Mac OS programs look like they're running on an iPad, and they've changed the interface so that there are things that are buttons, but they no longer resemble buttons in any sense. They don't have a box around them or an oval around them, a round rectangle, rounded rectangle around them. They're just words. And apparently some of them you can slide and they change. Some of them you tap and they change. And they're just words. And there's no visual indication of how you manipulate them. That's maddening. I've been doing user interface design since the 80s. And this stuff is studied. And Apple used to be at the forefront of studying user human-computer interactions, HCI, and developing guidelines. They had a guy named Bruce Tognazzini. He wrote a book called Tog on Interface. They had Apple Human Interface Guidelines, which were developed for Macintosh programmers, but Microsoft and Sun and other companies cribbed from freely. Would just duplicate icons and whole elements and whole behaviors because they were so good. There was no better way. I don't know what they're doing now. It all evaporates because the Mac is now a minor subsidiary, and so many people use iOS devices, iPhones, that if their Macs don't behave like their phones, they'll get upset. But those of us who have been using Macs for 30 years are lost. Watching the birds. So I'm back home. I gotta go in and get to my desk. It's 10:02. It's actually probably 5:02. I've got a conference call. I hope it works this time. Once again, they had changed the conference call URL, and nobody had notified me. So I've been for days and days trying to sign into the previous one, and every time it says it's been canceled. It's maddening. I sent out another, and people have been out, of course. So I sent out a message and say, like, I've asked before. But apparently I have to ask constantly. Is there a new meeting? Is there a new meeting? It's working from home is there's an extra burden on you to force your way into meetings and into people's awareness. And so I try to do that. I send out emails every day when I quit, when I'm done for the day, just to some evidence that I was here and did something. Because I think you can quickly be, you know, I'm constantly like checking in my work and logging my work in their spreadsheets, because that's pretty much all the evidence people have that I should get paid. And that I did what I claimed that I'm doing. All right, back home. It's been long and rambling. I hope you came here for long and rambling. If so, I'm glad to provide you with all your long and rambling needs. This is a little follow-on to the discussion on the 15th. We're still looking for a doctor where we can take the kids. We would like to get some follow-up blood testing done. But I can't find a doctor, and we haven't been able to find a pediatrician who will take new patients. So trying to follow up on any number of things, speech therapy for Sam, endocrinologist for Joshua because of his height issues, etc. Following up on any number of things has been just about impossible because of the lack of accessible physicians around here. So we have to put more effort into that, I guess, go further afield looking for doctors. But we shouldn't have to drive 900 miles to find a doctor. This is, well, was a major American city. I have one other point about the kids. We've been feeding them WIC food. That is food that was sponsored, that was covered, specific food items that were covered by WIC. And we've had to pick and choose because, you know, most of them have milk allergies, like I do. And so WIC offers, you know, enormous amounts of cow's milk, gallons and gallons of cow's milk. We haven't been able to use that, not to seem ungrateful or grateful to get free food. But we have to pick and choose stuff that we can use and try and balance it against the kids' health. They cover enormous amounts of processed cereals, too. And there's various things you can get that are covered under that. The one we decided was okay was unsweetened, or it's not actually unsweetened, it's plain instant oatmeal. And that is covered to the extent of, what was it, 10 or 11 boxes a month, something like that. A lot, quite a bit. Enough to feed at least a couple of the kids breakfast every day from it. So I've been making that for the kids for breakfast for a few months now. And we have noticed, based on the growth charts and based on their clothes, that their growth has slowed down very noticeably. Our kids, Isaac and the other kids, and Veronica, grew super tall on the diet that we normally fed them, which was had almost no processed food in it. But the newer ones, I'm not saying that this food is entirely the issue, but I think it may be that on the food that WIC provides, they grew less tall, and they also are putting on weight around their bellies. Which is, you don't actually want your child to be putting on belly fat. Babies get chubby, but they get chubby all over. Like, they get double, triple chins and chubby arms. They get these little folds in their arms. That's healthy for a baby to put on a bunch of fat. And then they save it up, and then they start growth spurts. But our kids have tended to be very skinny. A skinny child, assuming that they have muscle tone, you know, is healthy. That's healthy. That's how a child should be, is skinny. They should go very vertical. If they're putting on belly fat, that's not a sign of a healthy child. That's a sign of adult diabetes and adult obesity problems. And For example, Isaac, you know, wore the same underwear he wore when he was six, when he was 12, you know, around his waist. He always had a hard time finding pants that would fit because they were too big. And that's been the case with all of our kids until this year, until now. And now they're going up in waist size. And it's weird. There's some suggestion that a lot of issues, health issues that kids have, may be related to lead. We can't get follow-up lead testing done, but I really want to get that done soon and see if getting rid of the table and getting them away from possible other exposure sources, like the peeling paint at their grandmother's house, may have taken away most of the sources where the lead may have been coming from, and therefore their bodies will gradually get rid of the lead levels. We want to find that out. But I think we're going to have to stop feeding them the last of the WIC food items that we were getting. Basically commercial cheese may have had something to do with it. They don't really cover meat except for canned tuna. And we think the canned tuna is relatively safe. We don't use a lot of it to avoid mercury contamination. But definitely, like the plain oatmeal, the plain instant oats, it's sweetened. It has corn syrup in it, I think. It is, and it's highly processed. Like most of the food that they cover is highly processed. We also started getting WIC would cover juice, like grape juice. And so we would get white grape juice, and they would get that once in a while, too. I don't think that's a good thing. I think we need to take them back off of that and keep them back pretty much on strictly whole foods and unprocessed foods. So I'll feed them minimally processed. So I'll feed them, and always have fed them, steel cut oats and rolled oats, like organic or whole rolled oats, but nothing that's been turned into instant. Because I think these things, with the added sugars, I think they promote diabetes in children. So I think I'm saying basically, I'm grateful that we had support from SNAP in particular, that just gives us money to buy the food that we choose, but also from WIC that covered certain foods altogether. But I'm saying that I believe the foods that they're covering are not healthy for children. So that they're, especially if we were choosing the more popular ones, like they cover Cheerios. And I have come to believe that feeding kids instant oatmeal, Cheerios, processed cereals, things like that, is putting them on a path to diabetes. And parents should avoid that, because they're also shaping the kids' tastes. So it may not hurt them to eat those for a while, but they will shape the kids' taste such that they're accustomed to eating these things. And I believe that I did probably damage to my own health by eating these processed cereals as a child, as well as way too much sugar, way too much Coke. And my tastes have been programmed to crave sugar. And I have to, every day I have to tell my, basically fight my tastes. And to some extent, I've succeeded in reprogramming my tastes. Like I'm now, things that are super sweet taste too sweet to me. But that's hard to do. It takes a long time to really adjust your tastes once you're an adult. But I know also that if I eat a lot of sugar, my joints will hurt, and I'll feel sluggish, and I'll feel sickly. And what I really need to eat are the raw fruits and vegetables, or minimally processed fruits and vegetables, and a smaller amount of carbs. Like I'm having, Grace is going to put some raw rolled oats organic rolled oats from Bob's Red Mill in my smoothie today. A little bit. We're going to try that. So, anyway, just a thought that I'm grateful that we were able to give our kids something to eat, but seeing the changes in their bodies that aren't different than that they've grown normally, it's disturbing. And I reiterate that I don't think the foods they're giving people are really the healthiest choices. They should cover brown rice, they should cover lentils, they should cover whole grains only, like bulk rolled oats and bulk things like that. They should not cover things like corn flakes, Cheerios, because those things are basically, I'm not saying they're going to kill you quickly, you know, I'm saying they instill bad habits, they set up your body for metabolic syndrome, and they instill a taste for sweetened processed foods. So they literally put you on a path to diabetes. Okay, bye-bye. Oh, also, WIC covers some small amount, like I think $15 or something for us per month in fresh fruits and vegetables. So they'll cover $50 worth of processed instant oatmeal. They'll cover, I don't know if it's really $50 worth of milk, of, you know, cow's milk, and $15 worth of fresh fruits and vegetables. That really should be reorganized. Honestly, it's just, that's a little nuts. Okay.